right now, if you've ever tried to get a child to eat different foods and especially to eat more healthy stuff, chances are you've hit a wall at some point. And maybe you've even heard yourself saying, maybe I should just pay her to do it. Well, maybe you were right.
Some new research looks at the idea of monetary rewards for children to eat a wider, more healthy range of foods. That made us wonder what counts as good motivation, what it takes for good choices to stick in the long run.
Regan Gurung joins us now. He's the Ben J. and Joyce Rosenberg Professor of Human Development and Psychology at the UW Green Bay, and he joins us from our studios there. Regan, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks a lot.
So does this surprise you that it's something so simple and seemingly kind of shallow, just paying someone to do something would have such a big difference?
Well, I think, you know, before I comment, this is almost one of those segments that should come with a warning where you say, if any children are listening, you may want to turn it down for the next little bit. And the reason for that is because what this study shows is indeed paying children monetary rewards can actually get them to eat more healthy. And, you know, you said simple. It's actually in some ways simple, in some ways not that simple, because finding exactly what the right amount is varies. But no, out of the gates, I will say I was surprised by the finding. And in some ways, you know, the moment I saw the headline, I had to dive into it, because as a psychologist, for years, we've been trained for years. We've been aware of the fact that it's not a good idea to pay somebody to do something that's good for them. And I think that's what this article helps us get into a little bit more. It's when is it a good thing, and what are those things you need to be aware of when you do it?
Let's get into this research itself a little. Now, this is not going into people's homes and paying kids. This is in school settings. A lot of kids over a period of time. What happened?
So in a nutshell, the researchers went to 40 elementary schools, and I think the total number of students and the children in this study was about 8,000. So it's a really good sample size. Normally, when you hear about just one study, you can respond, oh, it's just one study. But this was a large sample size, and what they did was for either a 3-week period or a 5-week period, they gave kids a little monetary reward, and it was a 25-cent coupon every time they ate a serving of fruit or vegetable at lunch. So they're going through the line. The researchers had a observer there. If the student put a serving of fruit or vegetable on their plate, they got this 25-cent coupon that they could then turn in for at the school bookstore, at the school fair, or basically get, it was like money. And it worked. Whether it didn't make a difference, whether it was 3 weeks or 5 weeks, at the end of the intervention, even when they stopped paying the 25 cents, and this is the key, even when they stopped paying the money, for up to 2 months later, those kids increased their consumption of healthy food. And I think that's the big point right there, because it's no surprise if you're getting paid, if you eat food, healthy food, and get paid on the spot. That's no surprise. Anybody would do that. Any organism, any animal would do that. But what's key here is that those kids kept eating healthy food up to 2 months later.
So they're getting paid a quarter, and then the quarter stop, and they still are eating these healthy foods. In a way, you know, it doesn't seem to make sense. What do you think is going on there, Regan? Why did these kids keep eating healthy foods when the rewards went away?
I think there are, the authors put forward three different possibilities, and I can add a few more as I think about this, but there are a couple of things going on. One is, and probably most importantly, it seems like you're building a habit. And as a health psychologist, I can tell you one of the most important predictors of a behavior is a habit of doing it. So if you ask the simple question, what predicts exercise? Well, it's exercising as a habit. What predicts good eating? It's, well, I habitually eat well. So what's happening here is, excuse me, whether it's 3 weeks or 5 weeks, you are building a habit. So I almost like to think about this as you're providing, you know, it's much harder to push a heavy object if it's stationary. But once it's moving, and it's already moving, it's a lot easier to push it. I think that's what's happening here. It's tough to go from 0 to 60, but once you reward it, that's sort of the energy to get you up to 60. And once you're at 60, you're cruising. And that's, I think, what's happening here. That's the main, I think, possibility, is that you're actually helping those kids start a habit.
Is there a lesson here for grown-ups, too? Instead of, hey, New Year's Day, I'm going to start the radical new diet, or I'm going to quit smoking cold turkey, we should maybe be thinking about, how do I incentivize starting a new good habit or breaking that old bad habit?
Absolutely. I think that's and I think what's neat here too, in the habit literature, there's something called a keystone habit. It doesn't even have to be let's say you want to change, you want to exercise more. Well, interestingly enough, you change any habit, a small one that's easier to change, and other habits, healthier habits change as well. So it's, you got to find that keystone habit, that foundational habit that may be easier for you to change. Once you do it, whether it's the confidence of doing it or the momentum that you have, it actually makes other habit change happen better. So absolutely some really nice carryovers to adult behavior change as well.
We're talking with social psychologist Regan Gruing right now about research that suggests paying children a little bit to eat more fruits and veggies over a period of time actually works short term and after the incentives go away.
And we want to hear from you on this at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this idea? Does something feel wrong about it to you, paying kids to develop better habits, or do you think it's great to have another option here? Would you support a system like that maybe being put into place in your child's school? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll be back with Regan in just a few minutes. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert.
We're picking up our conversation now with Regan Gruing about why paying children to eat healthier foods works and whether it's a good idea. Regan's professor of human development and psychology at UW Green Bay.
And we're wondering what you think about this. Is paying kids to develop healthy habits okay, or does it maybe set unreasonable expectations for what they should be doing? Would you try this out? Call us at 800-642-1234, and we'll take our first caller. We have Mark with us in Richland Center. Mark, hi.
Hi. I have this question about the legitimacy of schools placing unhealthy food choices in front of the kids in the first place. If the unhealthy food choices are there offered by the school, that constitutes an endorsement and probably a stimulus to the bad behavior of the bad eating. So what is the point of talking about paying kids to eat healthy when the schools are demonstrating that unhealthy food is something that they support simply by putting it in front of them?
So there may be different options about choices and disagreement about what's there, Mark, but what about this incentivizing healthy eating? Do you think that's a good thing?
Well, yeah, but the whole question about how do you incentivize in front of something that is already a disincentive makes the problem more difficult.
All right, Mark, thanks for that. And Regan, what do you have to say to that?
Well, a couple of things, I think. Interestingly enough, as I was reading this article on my computer yesterday, my son looked over my shoulder and said, oh, but school food is so unhealthy. So, Mark, I know where you're coming from, and I think kids know that. I think the problem is cost. It's expensive to provide kids with healthy food, and I think it comes from parents urging schools to do so. And the good news is there are organizations around that are working very hard and with a lot of success to get healthy food going. I mean, here in the Green Bay area, the Green Bay schools have done a really great job of trying to have healthier food, and organizations like Live 54218 works really hard to put with the farm-to-table movement, where they've connected schools up with local farmers to get better, healthier food. And I think we need more consumers, more taxpayers saying, hey, that's the kind of stuff we need to see more of. So absolutely on, because I think a key part of this is to get kids to eat healthy, they should have healthy choices. It's hard to make healthy choices or eat healthy if the number of healthy foods are very limited.
Mark, thanks a lot for that call. Regan, one thing about this study was that it happened at schools, and some kids are eating these healthy foods and building these habits, and the other kids are seeing them do that. Is there a positive peer pressure going on here? Is that part of the story? And maybe this wouldn't work as well if it's just, you know, you and the family at home.
Well, Rob, a couple of different things. I think you mentioned there are two key words here. One was it was a small incentive, and two, it was at school where most school-age kids, and we're talking, you know, anywhere from first grade to eighth grade, but even beyond that, it's not even peer pressure, but even as adults, we look to what the social norms are. And if eating healthy is normative, we are more likely to eat healthy. Therefore, if you take a look at some states where the health in general is higher, healthy eating and physical activity is much more normative. Unfortunately, when you take a look at Wisconsin, healthy eating and healthy drinking or limited drinking is not that normative, and consequently, we see more problems there. So it's not just the incentive. I think the incentive got more kids to eat healthy. Then that had a domino effect where they saw other kids eating healthy, and it almost became normative to take those carrots or take that, you know, piece of pineapple or apple. And I think changing social norms is a very important way to go as well.
So, Regan, what happens if this incentivizing the healthy eating, what if it doesn't happen at school, but what if parents want to try it at home? Do you think it would still be successful without, you know, that peer group there watching and maybe giving approval?
I think it could be, and I think the nice thing about research is that most research is systematic, it's intentional, it's harder to do that at home. The key word Rob used earlier was small incentives. You know, how much should you give? You know, how much can you give? You run the risk of being too much. I think before I start rewarding kids for healthy behavior, I think I would make sure that I try all the other things that parents can do to help kids eat healthy, and quite quickly and simply, providing a lot of variety. Variety is key. Try and have at least two vegetables at every meal. So in the event a kid goes, I don't want that one, well, at least they're going to eat the other one. Non-consciously, we humans tend to eat more when there is more variety, and I think you can use that to your advantage when it comes to vegetables.
Hey, let's talk about the flip side before we're out of here, Regan. Instead of rewarding, the punishment, the battle over eating the veggies. Does that work?
You know, one standard finding from psychological science is that using reward is better than punishing. So I think always think about that before you yell, before you try anything worse. Rewarding always works better than punishing. Rewarding tends to have longer-term changes. A punishment, a quick yell, woo, there'll be a quick change. But that doesn't last long, and it's not the best way to go. So I would play with rewarding to different extents before I go to punishing.
Regan, thanks a lot for joining us again.
You bet.
That was Regan Gurung, the Ben Jay, and Joyce Rosenberg, Professor of Human Development and Psychology at the UW Green Bay. You can find his article about paying children and adults to develop healthy habits over on the Central Time Facebook page.